Starting Block with Taimoor Nabili, where business meets blockchain on Money FM 89.3.
Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of The Starting Block on Money FM 89.3, where we're talking about how blockchain applications are disrupting industry and how business leaders might begin to address this potential threat and potential opportunity. On today's episode,
we're going to look at one of the most significant and fundamental industries that affects all our lives, the business of electricity. And we're going to discuss where and how blockchain might play a role in your future power decisions at home and at work. I'm joined by Martin Lim, who's co-founder and COO of Electrify.sg. Hello, Martin.
Hi, good morning, Timo.
Nice to have you here. Now, Electrify describes itself as Singapore's first marketplace for retail electricity. And we'll get into that and what it means in a moment. But first, let me just lay a little background to this conversation. Now, electric power is something that we in Singapore and in all the developed world have long taken for granted, even though it's arguably the single most important utility in our daily lives. Mostly, we're utterly ignorant about it. All we know is that it's there when we flick a switch. In Singapore, this has been especially easy because most of the time we contract with one party and it achieves most of our requirements, and nobody really has to think too hard about where it comes from or who we pay. But all of that is going to change. As of this month, the open electricity market will come fully into play, and it's going to change everything quite radically. And it's worth just talking a little bit about the significance of this change, Martin. I mean, I know the electricity market in Singapore has been changing for quite a while. The liberalization process has been underway for an awfully long time, as a matter of fact. Tell me how you saw this electricity market and thought, now I see opportunity here for disruption.
Yeah, well, that's quite interesting because while everyone thinks that deregulation of the market is a really sudden thing, it's only occurred recently, the truth is that the market's been deregulating since about 2001. So you have to understand for the last...
But slowly, right?
Yeah, but very slowly. Only commercial industrial customers could buy from a private retailer. So from 2001 right through to about 2015 and so on, there were only about 10 plus retailers in the market. And even after then, for the next 2 years, from 2015 to about 2017, the number increased to about 20 plus retailers. And it was at that time we realized that, wait a minute, despite there being 20 plus retailers in the market, many of the commercial and industrial customers still had no idea there was deregulation. By our reckoning, as many as about 30% of the customers out there didn't know this was going on. They didn't know they had options. They didn't know they had choices. They didn't know there was actually competition for their electricity accounts.
Did the competition make much difference, though? I mean, we always talk about competition in terms of simply the number of potential sources or providers of a particular product or service. Usually, though, most of them are just, you know, cutting and dicing in a slightly different way, and the advantages are not necessarily that open. Is that the case in the electricity market?
Oh, no. See, because of the way the Singapore electricity market's structured, if you buy a power contract, if you're a commercial industrial customer, if you buy a power contract from a private retailer, you're looking at savings in excess of 20 to 25%.
That's pretty significant.
That's right. It's very, very significant. And the sad thing really was that even as recent as a year plus ago, a lot of the customers were not aware that they could save that amount. They had a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of misinformation about how the market operated. They all thought everybody got their power from the single incumbent, which wasn't true. In the market structure in Singapore, all the power that's generated comes primarily from seven of the generation companies. So these companies make the power. It goes into the power grid, which is owned and managed by the incumbent itself.
So here you saw a market which was very well structured already, organized and controlled to a large extent by some fairly big players. How does an independent startup operation look at a market like that and say, I can make a difference here? I mean, you're at a major disadvantage, aren't you?
Well, yes and no, because the market had an operating structure that allowed for a third-party reseller to be in there. So despite there being already, say, at the time when we formed the business, there were already about 22 retailers in the market. But almost all these retailers had a sales division and they outsourced a large amount of that those sales. So they had independent agents working for them and so on. What we did when we looked at the market was to say, look, the market deserves a great deal more transparency. Customers needed to know that they had options and choices. So what we did was to build the first platform to represent a large number of these retailers. We went to them, spoke with them, gave them terms and that we discussed them over, and we represented their products on a single platform, allowing customers to choose. And that's what we did. So it was actually very, very ripe as an opportunity for us. The market, I believe, needed a platform at the time.
So your initial approach was not blockchain focused at all. I mean, initially you were just dealing with what was already in the space and the cards that were on the table.
That's
right. And you just thought about reconfiguring them a little.
In a way, yeah. So the first thing we did really was this. Ironically, the energy industry around the world, it's not known for innovation. And Singapore was no different. At the time when we came into the market, contracts were still done old school, pen and paper and so on. It would take, it would take up to a week to get a contract signed with all the approvals and collection of checks and so on and so forth. We built a digital platform. We were the first guys to digitize everybody's contract, put them online, and you could actually sign them up e-commerce style. You pick a contract you liked, you filled in the blanks, and you paid your money. Instead of taking a week to fulfill a contract, you could actually just take 10 minutes, fill it in, upload your documents, and you're good to go.
I really like that phrase, not known for innovation, because it applies to so many industries. And part of the reason for this series and these conversations is exactly that. It's amazing how there are so many legacy industries that are comfortable and profitable and operationally, apparently fairly stable.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there is opportunity for somebody who comes in there and go, actually, innovation is possible here.
Definitely, all the time.
And so how do you then begin to take on the legacy?
Well, here's the thing, right? Unlike a lot of other businesses that seek, or rather should I say new startups that seek to disrupt, we've always viewed ourselves as collaborators, that we're not here to displace, but instead we're here to integrate. How do I explain this? So I think most of the big legacy type businesses, for instance, right, like incumbents and so on, right? I don't believe that they choose not to innovate. But I think it's just a matter of inertia. It's the sheer size of this beast. For it to get moving in a different direction, for it to change course, for it to pivot, is incredibly difficult. Because again, there are lots of opportunity costs. You make the wrong choices, lots of things could go wrong. And the costs are far, far higher. For a startup like us, it's far easier in a way. We still have opportunity costs. There's risk as well. But because we're smaller, we're able to pivot and change. And that's exactly how we got into the whole blockchain development side of things. We pivoted into that space.
Okay.
When we started the business, we created an online platform that allowed for customers to choose their electricity plans.
I'm talking to Martin Lim, who's a co-founder and COO of Electrify.sg, about Singapore's electricity market in general, but in particular about how small startup operations can disrupt legacy industries, not just by, as you did at first, Martin, reconfiguring some of the existing components of that market, but then beginning to introduce innovation. So let's get on to that idea of blockchain and how this kind of technology began to fit into your calculations and why you decided to utilize this in your approach.
Yeah. The thinking was quite simple. At the time we went to market, we launched the platform. It was popular. We worked really hard. Within about 3 months, we hit a plateau of sorts. We were making decent revenues, and we were looking to increase our revenues, our earnings, of course, right? Every business wants to increase its earnings. But we realized that because our earnings were based on commissions, we realized that to get more commissions from retailers would have been incredibly difficult. So we started exploring and looking for ways to reduce the cost of these transactions, and hopefully we could get a slice out of these savings.
So blockchain as a tool for reducing administration costs and therefore increasing revenues. Join us again tomorrow for part two of this episode, when Martin Lim of Electrify.sg will explain how that process works and how his company began the transition from an electricity trading platform to a blockchain pioneer. See you tomorrow on The Starting Block.